Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
For the fans, by the fans, you are listening to the Non-League Football Show with me, Caroline Barker. Coming up this week, we've gone all Northern for a focus on the game in the Northern Powerhouse. And there's some blithe spirit. You'll see what we've done there. The Non-League Football Show podcast, sponsored by Pitch Hero. Running your club online should be simple. So start your free Pitch Hero trial today and see what a Pitch Hero website can do for your club. Let's bring in the team. I had written here not quite Bill and Ben, but they're more the Richard and Judy of football up north. And I have to be careful what I say, because we've decamped to a top secret location in the heartlands of Northern football with Ben and Swampy from, and I was going to say FC United of Manchester Radio, but Ben, it transpires, Swampy, and I'm looking at you and not at him when introducing him, is now a fan of everything oval. So should he actually be talking about football anyway?
Well, he knows nothing about football. Good. And he knows nothing about rugby. So in that respect, he's
perfectly, like,
adapt to being on this show. And he's a very good producer as well. But no, he knows lots of things about lots of things.
Is that my introduction?
Hello.
Hi, Swampy. How are you?
Yeah,
hi,
not
Caroline.
Bad, Ben. How are you?
You okay?
Nice.
You're
yeah,
good.
Not bad at all. Thanks.
Excellent.
Not bad at all.
It's good to be in Salford. It's lovely.
It's not Richard and Judy, actually. You know what it is? It's those creature comfort adverts. You could be a hamster or a...
It's just a Northern accent.
Yeah,
she's having a go at the Northern accent.
I think
you're right in saying this. But yeah, FC United of Manchester Radio and equally the Northern Premier League's podcast team.
The NPL show, as mm-hmm. it's commonly known. Mm. I was coming on to that too. It's a very special occasion because Ben walked in with what can only be described as like Mary Poppins' handbag and out pops this whole radio studio. I threw myself at the mercy of you two, said I was stuck up north, as in I wanted to be up north, not stuck against my will.
Very careful, because you might not be stuck up for a little longer.
I wanted to be up north, and I said, oh, the show. Do I do it down south by the medium of telecommunication, or do I invite the two best people that I know who have the ability to be
three.
Free
yeah,
on,
that's
a,
true.
On a Thursday night?
This is nice. I mean, we've done it from fields, haven't we? Just
done it on roofs, done it in fields.
I mean, I've done it in a car park. But
done it next to a gas canister.
Done it on a gas canister, so that was interesting. Been up on the roof at North Ferriby looking at the beautiful bridge and the train going past.
Got pneumonia that day, I remember.
You did, yes.
Freezing.
Well, you were also very, very, very scared because there were spiders everywhere.
I actually don't know where to look next. So God knows what people will be thinking when they're listening to this without the ability to see it as I can with you two.
We're looking into each other's eyes, that's what it is. It's nice, this.
We'll talk about the big stories of the week in just a moment. But you two last night were at a football game?
Yes, we were at Leek Town, weren't we, for the Integro League Cup final of the Northern Premier League. Bamber Bridge against Grantham Town.
Have you forgotten all about last night?
Not at all.
We go to football all the time now, don't we?
We do more games than we've ever done. Primarily to
have a
to
burger.
Pie. Ben has a pie. I check out the chips and the mushy peas, and if any ground has the delights of mint sauce, they get an extra point there. But primarily it's for the football. And last night, the cup final, and we were talking about it, weren't we, the other week, about county cup matches. Your team won a county cup.
The
county cup from your part of the world, which is very important, and the greatest trophy ever, I understand that.
I had a photo with it at the weekend.
Yeah, it's nearly as big as you, which is a big trophy.
A good effort.
It is indeed. But no, I mean,
you are close enough for me to
We've been closer.
Of any type.
But we were at Leek Town, and it was an absolutely superb game of football. It was Bamber Bridge, a division below, who've had an up and down season against Grantham Town, who actually on Saturday pretty much would realise that we're probably going to be out of the playoffs. So they had a playoff disappointment, and also then a cup final and they were beaten in the cup final as well, and deservedly so. It was a tremendous game of football and a really good advert for the Northern Premier League.
I'm conscious of the fact we are very northern, so any minute I'm going to go, barrels, apples, pears, whatever they say.
We're going to go further north, though, aren't we? Proper north.
Oh, yeah, proper north.
Really scary accents.
Don't get everyone to turn off immediately. Let's just, before we go...
Can we not put subtitles on? No, is that not possible?
No. It's a little bit going perhaps too far to one way. But let's just swing it back, because... Just further, a bit down south, Lincoln will be the big story this weekend. If they beat Macclesfield...
Then another northern team.
If they beat Macclesfield on Saturday, which is an early kickoff, 12:15, a victory over the Silkmen will seal that promotion, that title in the National League. Danny Cowley, Essex boy, I'll just bring that up again for balance, has achieved something remarkable. The Cowley brothers have achieved something remarkable, regardless of what happens this weekend. But to have won the title, if Macclesfield don't play ball this weekend, which of course we can't discount, to have won it so early, relatively early still, would be incredible, right?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the season they've had has been tremendous. From where they came from last season, we talked to them quite a number of times last season on the show, didn't we? And their enthusiasm for the game, their passion, their professionalism has shone through. You know, they've gone from being school teachers, which has, I think, set them in good stead, both with PE teachers, aren't they? And they've gone into the professional game, so to speak, in the fact that they've taken it on full time. And done a brilliant job. The FA Cup run, obviously, is stuff of legends and dreams now. But equally, to win the division, in a tough, tough league with Forest Green and Tranmere and the like, all there pushing them and pushing them and pushing them, be tremendous. It'd be a tough game against Macclesfield, because themselves, they were looking at one stage possibly for playoff contention, and the Silkmen won't want to do anyone any favours. But it also means that Tranmere have to win on Saturday as well. So again, it'll be very, very interesting, but it'll be deserved from a great, great season from their perspective.
Yeah, and they'll win it regardless of what Tranmere do. But you're right, if they slip up and then Tranmere still have a sniff. Mm. But what gives me, or perhaps might give Lincoln fans hope going into this weekend, is that result against Gateshead. To be 1-0 down, to get two goals in the last 3 minutes, to win 2-1 against Gateshead just a few days ago as well. They have had the kind of rollicking, I guess, from the Cowley boys after perhaps a little tiny dip post FA Cup. They came through that. And then to have that resolve, you can see how much it means to do that and to be on the brink this weekend is something.
We
special.
Saw quite a number of him fans, didn't we?
Yeah, we
were on our way to Darlington, and we were. You know, backwards and forwards, and we said, "Is that an FC scarf?" "Oh no, it's a Lincoln scarf." "Is that an FC?" "Oh, that's a Lincoln scarf." "There's a Lincoln scarf." "Oh, it's an FC scarf." Backwards and forwards, and great result against a tough team in Gateshead. Mm. They've had a good resurgence this season as well, and it was a big result, and to get it so late in the day as well, as you say, they went through that little bit of trouble after the FA Cup, which Dave said last week, everyone's going to have that little bit of a blip. They had it, but they got out of it very quickly, and they will be deserved winners of this football division.
I think everyone can agree that we're all bored of our own voices right now, so we'll bring in a guest, shall we? Or should we just talk about rugby? I mean, we could do that, Ben, if you wanted to.
Well, Ben, the thing is...
At Non-League Show to get in touch with us if there's anything you want to talk about, or given the Mary Poppins attitude of our two guests this evening and the ability to spring forth a radio studio from nothing. If you want them to come along and come down south, then I'm sure they'd be up for it. Yeah, maybe not.
Chippenham would
Chippenham,
like us.
Yeah.
Chippenham likes us. I mean, Poole likes us.
Poole likes us, yeah.
Weymouth fans love us.
Certainly, I was moving to Cambridge, as you know, and I was going to cover all the southern side of things. So, if anyone wants us, our services are available, no problem at all.
Just to say, Caroline, the effect that you have, he's written notes. He never writes notes.
I do for this show.
Are they love notes? Not love notes? I'm just ignoring you briefly because I know I said we'd shut up, but I've had a little tip-off on Poole. You mentioned Poole. And, last week we spoke about their regulations, where they're up to scratch with ground grading. I've had a tip-off that three parties, so not just Poole and Darlington, I'm thinking Hungerford, have submitted their written representations today, and all three cases will be heard together on Wednesday afternoon next week. So we should know about ground grading and where they'll be, whether they'll be allowed to play in the playoffs as well, whether they'll be allowed promotion, should they get through that Wednesday next week or early next Thursday morning as well. That's a little bit of an insight.
Which is interesting, because the playoffs are actually in the Northern Prem Tuesday.
Yes, they are.
So that'll be an interesting one.
Just move on now. At non-league show.
Just booed everything I've just realised what I said. Sorry about that.
You said we were going to head further up north. I mean, Blyth is as far north as you can go.
Oh, you can't get any further north than this.
Hey, and there's the voice of Blyth, Alan Armstrong, joining us. Hey, Alan, I was going to give you the big talk-up, big introduction. Then we had a fanfare ready. We had drums. I mean, there was a light show, but I'll just... your voice does its own talking. The most northern non-league club in England, but the rate at which you're gaining promotion, Alan, you're going to be Football League soon, aren't you?
I wouldn't mind it, but we've just got to make sure that we enjoy this moment. You know, I mean, we've worked extremely hard to get where we are, and it doesn't come along too often. So we've got to enjoy this moment. We know it's going to be difficult next year. We've got to make no bones about that, but I'm quite happy in what the squad that we've got here. I think we'll be capable of competing next year.
Well, let's roll back just a little bit then. Five seasons in the Evo Stick Northern Premier following the relegation from what was the Conference North, as was then, for Blyth. Now you've won promotion. You're pulling up trees all around you. Has it been one of those seasons where you went into the season thinking, yeah, you know what, that's going to happen. This season will be that season.
Not the time I come in, no. When I come in September, obviously, I took over from Tom. It was touch and go what way the season could have went. And fortunately, the lads bought in everything that me and Daz Holloway bought the club. Mm. And they're reaping the rewards from it, obviously. Tom done a great job beforehand, but he thought he took the club as far as he could. And it's probably been proved right, because we've come in and we've moved them on that little bit further, brought in some more quality players who've played league football, and we've got them into the next division, and we're looking to move on again.
Tom Wade, of course, and Swampy, we were discussing this before the show, weren't we, about the credit for Alan and the credit for Tom. And Alan's here, obviously, listening, as you well know, Swampy. And so you feel free to blush on the phone, Alan, at this point. But we can lay credit at Tom's feet. But what Alan has done...
Good evening, first and foremost, to you. Alan, I've watched you quite a number of times this season, myself and Ben, up and down the country. And it's been entertaining football, good quality football and positive football that you've played. And I don't think anyone... at the beginning of the season, I mean, we do the MPL show ourselves, we put you down as favourites for the division. Even before you came in, we thought with Tom, there was a good opportunity. But you've kicked on, and the football you've played, I think myself and Ben would say that probably the best game of football we've seen for a long, long time was
the Nantwich game
again, the 2-2 draw, which was absolutely a superb game of football, and some great goals from both teams. And you know, you've run away with it this season, so you've got to be really pleased with the fact that you've not stuttered, you've continued and continued and continued. When you did that little blip, you've still managed it, and you've got to be looking for over 100 points this season, surely.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, you've been a watch. We play a good attacking football, and we play football the right way. I haven't got lads in here where you just lump the ball up and play for second balls. We've got good footballers here who can deal with the ball and take people on, and I like entertaining football. I come through with the Keegan era, so I looked at that, and you just look.
Well, you've succeeded.
Exactly, and that's the way it is. You know what I mean? Like, I'll not play football any other way. People pay money to come and watch exciting football, and that's what I try to produce. I try to get the lads to do that. I try to give them the freedom to enjoy the ball when we've got it. And what the other side of it, I needed them to stop conceding goals, and they've done that immensely. So many times this season, and when we had to dig in against Stafford away, against Rush all the way, we had to dig in for 1-0 wins. They've done that as well, so they've been outstanding. They've took everything on board what we've asked of them.
Well, the big challenge next few years, obviously next season in the Conference North. Obviously, we from FC United perspective, we've known the division now for two seasons. It's a different type of football, a different type of opportunity for Blyth to show their quality. But are you going to have the benefit of your son still playing? Will there be a loan back to Blyth so we can play in the Conference North, or is he going to be staying, hopefully, as you would expect and hope, at Middlesbrough?
Obviously, he wants to stay at Middlesbrough. I would like him to obviously play there, but if it's not happening there, I'd have him back straight away. I think for someone who's scored 26 goals in his first season, and he's only 20-year-old, I think he's done exceptionally well, and he's it's the other side of it as well. He wins the ball back quickly, for he works ever so hard with Dan McGuire up there. in the two of them when against Whitby on Monday, they Whitby couldn't live with them, and we could have been 10-0 up at half time. It just shows you when the pair of them are working together like that, that they're a formidable partnership. So I would love to have them back, but I've got to think of the kid. He's got to try and get a career out of the game, and it'll be ideal for him to play at Middlesbrough. But if they need another year development, without a doubt, I'll take them back.
We should perhaps explain that the Middlesbrough have re-signed Luke, your boy, your son, from Blythe. Was there a, I know there's a little bit of chat at the time about whether you got a pre-season friendly stitched up. Is that going to happen?
Yeah, the part of the deal was that I'd get a pre-season friendly with Middlesbrough here at Croft Park, and we're just waiting for confirmation on dates. Middlesbrough will be doing their pre-season dates shortly, so we're just waiting on confirmation of that. But that's something that I'm looking to try and get some big friendlies here at Croft Park to get. Looking forward to the next season.
Yeah, that'll kick you off well. Ben, I know that there's a secret love affair and you admire greatly Alan, so I'll let you have the last
really
question.
It's a question I wouldn't dare ask you on the NPL show, Alan. It's with regards to the playoffs in the NPL and how strong they are this season. I mean, at time of recording, we don't know whether Nantwich are going to be confirmed on Thursday night, but I think they're going to make the playoffs. You've got Workington, Nantwich, Stourbridge and Spennymoor all there. Who are you thinking? And I don't think you would have liked Blythe to have been in that mix, would you?
No, not at all. Yeah, like I look at Spennymoor, the squad they've got, and when they seem to come up for big games, but then again, so does Stourbridge. When the big games are there, the players perform. I think when we played Spennymoor, I think that was our first defeat after our winning streak, and Spennymoor reacted as if they'd won the cup. But their players put in so much effort in that game. It was, you could see it. It meant an awful lot to them. And for them to pick up in certain games, it must be frustrating as a manager when you've got players doing that. But that's why I can think them will do it. I think Spennymoor will do it. But then I would like to see, I think the best team I enjoyed playing against was probably Nantwich. I thought they were a really good football and said, played football the wrong way. Phil Potton's got them playing lovely football. And I would like to see them come up, if I'm totally honest with you, but I think Spennymoor will be too strong.
Alan, brilliant job this season. We look forward to seeing you succeed next season too. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
That's brilliant. Thanks a lot, Mel.
Alan Armstrong, round of applause and all that.
Great season.
You are listening to the Non-League Football Show podcast, sponsored by Pitch Hero, the UK's number one provider of sports club websites. Off next, even further north, which means I should really go ream, Essex, something else like that, just again to balance it up.
Cover Scotland?
I don't know. I don't even know what accent was, to be honest. It was Outer Hebrides or something.
I tell you, I've been on national radio this week. I don't like to brag. I'm not bragging. But I did an interview with someone down south, and the interview turned into me going, "What?" And I don't know why it is.
You sound like Lee Mack doing an impression of a southerner.
Going back to the rugby league thing, obviously I speak to a lot of Cumbrians and Yorkshire folk and that kind of thing, and your accent does change.
Yeah, really,
and the thing is, change. Ben, you said the word rugby league. There's a blank expression on her face. Excuse me, did you say rugby league? No.
It was rugger
where we are.
I have rugger. You know, for many a season, I covered the London Broncos.
Yes, well,
stick that in your northern pipe and flat cap. He's actually wearing a flat cap.
I am wearing
that. That's not me being casually racist. He is actually wearing
and shorts. That's how northern he is. It's raining outside.
And to be honest, we're lucky the security guard's looking after me. Whippet out there as well. So we're okay. The Whippet's been looked after and everything's happy. I'm just wondering, actually, Blythe's on the right hand side of the northeast of it, because they've also got a team in the northwest counties. Carlisle City are playing in the North West Counties Division, which are all Lancashire-based teams. Mm-hmm. That's Scotland, basically, isn't it, Carlisle? I mean, again, there are three or four divisions below, but they're ploughing their trade, and they've been around for a few years, but to coming down to the North West every week, in places like Newcastle under Lyme, from Carlisle to there, tremendous for them as well.
Was that just an excuse just to show his non-league knowledge then?
Well, geography more than anything.
Geography, yeah. Yes.
That was geography.
I'm doing an O-level at the moment.
Here endeth the lesson. You are listening to the Non-League Football Show, which I may have told you several times, just in case you wondered if you tuned into something else that was happening. I mean, we've not talked gardening yet, have we? Although that perhaps will happen at some stage.
We could
stage.
Do some Monty Don, yes. And welcome now for the car part of the show, where we're looking at tulips.
Then for a moment. We're not talking tulips next, although given we are having a special, should we call this a special?
Yes. I
mean, we can just say it's special. It's very special being with you two here in the studio. It's like Christmas has come all at once. And given that it is a special occasion, I'm going to let both of you free. We've had Alan Armstrong on, who Ben freely admits is a hero of his, and all of us, frankly.
Of course,
now.
Yes.
Let's get someone on who's a hero of yours next, Swampy. You do This Is Your Life moment and bring in your next guest.
Well, in fairness, this man doesn't ordinarily need any introduction because you give him a pint of Newcastle Brown and he'll talk to you for hours about all things football, all things political football. He's been an editor and chief. We're working on the Newcastle fanzine, but I think he saw the light, saw what was in front of him. It was northeast working class grassroots.
The show's
football.
Almost over, Swampy, but you know.
Newcastle Belfield, the chair of the Tyneside Amateur League, the reserve goalkeeper of Walls End Boys Club, over 40s, and an all round North East non league obsessive. It is the one, the only Ian Cusack. Good evening to you, sir.
Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Was that too big of a build up?
It was all right. It's Newcastle's Benfield, though, not Belfield.
We would have edited that, you see. Now, that was the thing. It's not quite live. But,
Can I just point out that wouldn't have happened had I been doing the introduction, but it wouldn't have been as enlightening.
It wouldn't have.
Ian, now, we were just talking to Alan Armstrong at Blythe, of course. It is, or it feels to me at least, as a girl from down south, which I keep mentioning, that at the moment, the North East, or at least the North football, Northern football, is where it's at. This is the place to be at the moment. Am I wrong?
It's certainly one of the most encouraging situations I can remember in the local grassroots game. Obviously, at the top of the pyramid, we've got Gateshead, who are going to just finish outside the playoffs in the conference, but it's a better season than anyone could have imagined. You said you've had Alan Armstrong, so we've got Blythe, who are going to get promoted. Spennymoor have got a chance of getting into the playoffs to go up with Blythe. In the Northern League, where my team is, South Shields have had this astonishing run, and they're champions, and they're going up to the National League First Division. And then apart from that, and South Shields are also in the FA Vars final. Mm. And then there's Darlington, who I saw on Monday beat Mr. Bennett's team 4-2 at Darlington's ground. And unfortunately, despite them sitting fourth in the table in the National League North, they're being denied a place in the playoffs because of some incredibly complex regulation about number of seats they needed by 31st of March.
Yes, yeah. We had a chat about that last week, and before we came on, we were saying that that's going to be heard next Wednesday, so we should hear more about that next Wednesday too. What is it then? Because I was having a look down at the non-league finals day sales. So there's the sales for the Vars and the trophy as well. South Shields, 9,400 tickets they've sold already. And then you look at York, which is the next biggest one down, of course, with the trophy, 4,800. So not only are these teams doing well, but they're doing well in, and they're pulling in the crowds too.
Well, South Shields are part of a tradition that's been there for about the last 8 years of Northern League teams getting to the FA Vars final. And this was started by Whitley Bay in 2009, who won it for three years in a row. And North Shields won it in 2015. Now, both Whitley Bay and North Shields come from almost exclusively Newcastle United supporting areas. And Whitley Bay really benefited from a lot of Newcastle fans disengaging because of the Mike Ashley regime. Mm. And so the crowds massively increased, given an increase in the amount of money available for teams to spend on ground and on players and what have you. So it was a really, really a great bounce they had. And that was continued along by North Shields. The interesting thing about South Shields, even though they're only, of course, geographically 2 miles south of North Shields, and they're still on the Tyne, is that they're in an area which is split 50-50 between Newcastle and Sunderland supporters. So previously there hasn't been a team for Sunderland supporters to get behind, unless they're ones from kind of out in County Durham when West Auckland got to the Vars final. But for actually around the Sunderland area, South Shields is the first successful non-league team, and indeed it's the first time that the Northern League has been won in its 128-year history, by a team from South Tyneside. So South Shields, as well as having a fabulously rich benefactor in their chairman, Jeff Thompson, all of the ducks have come into line now. Mm. They've got the support, they've got the ground, they've got the money, they've got the players. They've got Julio Arca playing for them, for goodness sake. And
that's incredible.
Well, it's just astonishing. And so I think they're on a massively upward trajectory, and I don't imagine that they will be satisfied in being in just stabilising in the Conference North. I think they may wish to get, you know, as far as the conference itself. Well, Ian, I don't know if a league would be possible.
Ian, just let me just bring you back a little a few moments ago. It would be very remiss of me for you to let you away with saying there was only one real team in South Shields for people to support, because you are forgetting the Mighty Roofing as well. Don't forget the Jarrah Roofing.
That's a fascinating thing, because Jarrah Roofing don't play in Jarrah.
No.
But South Shields do.
Exactly, yes.
Jarrah play in Bolton, and even more interestingly, I don't know if you're aware, but Jarrah FC won the Wearside League last night, so they'll be in the Northern League Second Division next year.
And Andy Hudson, my cousin, actually came on, not in gold, but came on and came on for 15 minutes up top.
How long did it take for a family member?
Well, he's the player that went on. We talked to him last year because he was doing the Twitter feed pre-season game, and the goalkeeper got injured, so he had to come on. So he had to put the mobile phone down and don the gloves, and you know, all of a sudden he was world famous.
It would have been a better story if he tweeted in that.
He could have.
The situation for Andy on Tuesday night was he came on when they were winning away 2-0 at West Auckland.
That's right.
The first team ever to win the World Cup, of course, and they beat Benfield 1-0 on Saturday, and we were hopeless, but we'll ignore that. And when Andy went on, it was because Andy Hunter, the goalkeeper, got injured.
Mm.
But Andy didn't go in goal. The person who went in goal is Paul Chow. Now, Paul Chow is famous for playing for Whitley Bay for all three Vars finals they won, and also scoring the quickest ever goal at the new Wembley. And he's also quite tall, at about 6'4", so he went in goal, and Andy went up front. And apparently he needed oxygen afterwards, even though he'd only been on the pitch for 3 minutes.
Ian, I'm not going to lie to you. All these stats, all this history is actually making me come over all unnecessary. So we might have to let you go.
Sorry.
Mainly, well, I know you just have this effect on me. But it has been an honour to have you on the non-league show. So thank you so much for answering call from Swampy when you must have been so tempted to top button it. So thank you. Thank you for coming on, Ian. All the best. And we will hopefully talk to you.
All the best, pal.
Thank you very much.
Talk to you soon. Take care.
I mean, sometimes, Mr. Swampy, I perhaps say to you, you know, you've got to do better with the contacts, but right there, you pulled one out of the bag.
That's an Ian Burke of the northeast of England. You sit for hours, and the stories, he said he's written books, and the books on a little northern team there, and it's the history of 1 year in there, and he's a great blogger, but he knows his onions inside out, and it's, you know, nice to get him on.
There's one team that we didn't mention, which is Barrow, currently sitting seventh in the National League as we sit here and record this in our top secret location. There was a story in the non-league paper this week, I don't know if you saw it, that Barrow owner Paul Casson has put £1 million into the club last season too. So seventh at the moment. He talks about the foundations that it will give them. This is all the overall liabilities of the club, all the accounts that has come out. But £1 million. And when you look at that, they're seventh. I know it's about clearing debt as well. It's about sorting out, making sure that the foundation at least was there for them and Paul Cox to move on the following season. It's not this season, but next season. But you've got to have £1 million, Ben, now to mix it with the big boys in the National League. How have we seen this season, do you think, two or maybe three leagues developing in one in terms of the amount of money that you need to spend? And where does that, or what sort of message does that send out for those teams from the National South and National North that are hoping to go up this season?
Well, from an FC perspective, we've always said, haven't we, since we got into the National League North, that I don't think we could ever afford to get promoted, not at least for the next 5 years. Mm. It's a very daunting promotion, that, to go from that second tier into...
You've got to have an absolute top draw squad and an excellent, excellent manager. And if you've got a little bit of money, then you can go far. But if you haven't got a huge amount of money, you know, we're talking £1 million. I've got a few friends that actually are Barrow fans, and they go up and watching and said, you know, there's a lot of work, a lot of development going on in Barrow. It's an isolated club in that respect, and you know. A lot of the lads used to train it from Barrow down in Salford. They used to come down here to train. The Barrow lads used to train down here and then play up there.
Because there's that thing, isn't there, of talent in trying to get a pool of talent together
in
that area.
Certainly. But you're right in saying, I mean, even if you look at, the North Conference North, Fylde look like they're going up. They've got a huge amount of money, gone full-time. Kidderminster obviously have come down a division, but they've stayed full-time. I'm not saying they've got a huge amount of money, but they've got a decent enough budget to hopefully get them back up. That's what they were looking at. You've got the likes of Salford City, absolute bags of money. You've got a whole plethora. Spennymoor, we know, in the division below, in the Northern Premier League, have got money. We weren't going to mention Billericay, but I will. Billericay, well, £20,000 a week. You know, they've got a huge amount of money. So there's so many different tiers within the structure.
And I know this is an old hobby horse of the show, but is it non-league anymore? I mean, well, the clubs up there, I mean, even likes of Chester and, you know, and Halifax in our league, it's...
Well, they're fan-owned to a certain degree in a certain way, but I mean, I can understand it.
No, but my point is, these are league clubs, essentially, and Stockport County being in the National League North.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of excitement, which Leighton Orient fans won't feel at the moment, and what that club is going through currently is
awful. It is.
Particularly with my team, Chelmsford, it's all if, buts and maybes, but should we win promotion to the National League, and then Leighton Orient could be dropped down, and you could suddenly go along to Brisbane Road and think about, actually, here's a team we've been playing with in front of 1,000 fans, which is great, you know, in the National South, and then suddenly how many fans you're going to get to sit in front of with Leighton Orient, and that's the only positive on anything happening currently with that club, is for actually the other clubs that feel like, oh, we might get a bit of a game next season, which is no reason, of course, for them and the current predicament they're in. But you're right, Ben, you look at it, and so Lincoln, they win it this weekend. So it's only going to be one out of Tranmere, Forest Green, Dagenham, Aldershot, out of those teams that are in there. So you're going to have these big old clubs left behind.
I remember talking to someone who runs the campaign against League Three, and one of the things he was saying, not strictly against the idea of a League Three, because in non-league, there is a lot of clubs up at the top end of non-league who essentially are football league clubs in all but name. And it's kind of... it's created a bubble in non-league, I feel, where there's a lot of clubs at step two and at step one down the bottom end who are trying to reach towards that top end, and I don't think they ever could.
Well,
that
is the problem, isn't it? The problem you've got is you're reaching for the stars as a football club. We've seen teams that have gone all the way through and they've come all the way back down with a huge bump.
Has that always been the case, though?
I think it has. Well, it not always been the case, no. I think it's happened more in the last 10 to 15 years, and certainly with the introduction of the money from a broadcaster and for the introduction of another broadcaster bringing television to the mass audiences. Since then, in the last 20-odd years, you've had more clubs going for it, in the money aspects of it, all the way through.
And we've had more Phoenix clubs making their way up, which also has an impact.
You've got Phoenix clubs,
the steps below that as well.
And you can't fault supporters who lose their football club, as you have. Mm. We haven't lost our football club. We walked away, but Wimbledon... There's a complete understanding why they've done what they're doing, and Halifax and Chester and Stockport County, they've all gone through, you know, trials and tribulations. So it's now that situation. You've got so many clubs in the Conference North, Conference South, and even lower, Rushden and Diamonds.
Hereford.
These are all big, big name clubs in the sort of like the second and third division we're talking about that are now in semi-professional football. So I don't know what can you do, because there's more clubs going to implode. There's more clubs that are going to fall into that. There'll be more Phoenix clubs. We've got to look at a situation where we can develop the semi-professional game, keep it semi-professional, rather than having 90% of all teams being full-time, because that can't help the semi-pro game, I don't think.
But we also need to, and we are going to move on in a minute, but we also need to sort out still regulation and governance of football clubs. I don't know if you saw this statement that came out from Leighton Orient staff this week. All that needs to stop. Orient... The only positive, if any positive can come from this, is the amount of clubs we've seen come down, sort themselves out, get themselves fit, and go back up and
Bristol.
Through.
Well, with Leighton Orient, I spoke to their supporters trust Loft, I think they're called, a while ago. And the positive out of it is the fact that people come out the woodwork, because at every club there's always this well of talent and expertise that clubs don't even know is there within the support base, who come out, who help, and there's some cracking people at that support. It's just at Leyton Orient who, if there wasn't this crisis, unfortunately, they wouldn't step up to the mark.
The one thing we have to remember is that when clubs do come down from the Football League, and is to embrace. We've spoken to so many chairmen and people in charge of football clubs that have actually come down, and the first that we've always said, just embrace what you're in. Don't rush straight for promotion back, because that can be the biggest problem you've got. And embrace where you are, because there's not a huge amount of difference between the conference. We've seen it this season between the conference and League Two and League One. You know, if the likes of possibly the league champions of the conference can, you know, beat league clubs convincingly, then, you know, there's not a huge, huge gap at this moment in time.
In other news, I put a photo of you two up, Ben
and
Swampy, here on at Non-League Show, and someone's just replied saying, which one's Dave Anderson?
I'll be Dave Anderson just for this evening.
He can be whichever one of them you want. You are listening to the Non-League Football Show podcast, sponsored by Pitch Hero, the UK's number one provider of sports club websites. So we are focusing predominantly on things up north this week, which I don't know how that works if you're already up north and then looking, anyway, both of you looking at me blankly, why I've changed the habit of a lifetime. Our next story is an emotional one, not least because of how we've seen a club and a non-league community pull together over the past year. Shore Lane boss Craig Elliott has dedicated their Evo Stick MPL South title to former defender Dan Wilkinson, and Craig joins us now. Hiya, Craig.
Hiya.
Many people will be aware of the stories surrounding Daniel, who sadly passed away on the pitch back in September. For you, this title, it must have been an incredibly emotional moment.
Yeah, definitely. It's obviously it's something that we'll obviously never forget about. Difficult time, difficult season, and to achieve what we have done has been remarkable, really, considering circumstances.
When we spoke at the time, Craig, you said you weren't sure how the club would move on from it. Does that make it even more remarkable that you have done it in Daniel's name?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, it sort of touched us all in different ways, really, and obviously we all dealt with it in different ways, and that was the hardest thing, really. Sort of, do you speak about it openly, or do you try and put it to the back of your mind and move on, or, you know what I mean? And that was the hardest thing as a manager, really, how to sort of deal with it with each player. But this is why I say the lads have just been absolutely incredible, and the people behind the scenes have given loads of support to the players and myself, and we really pulled together as a club, really. Obviously, I've been in constant contact with Daniel Spanley, and at times it's been emotional, but I'm just pleased to sort of get to the end and sort of, you know, by winning the league and the double in Dan's memory, really.
At the time as well, I know that Hull were very vocal in their support for you. The PFA were vocal too. Has that support continued over the past few months?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that sort of hits you, really. You go to these away grounds and people are still doing collections. People are still sort of talking about it and trying to donate in different ways. You get an odd supporter just coming and sort of just giving pounds, and you know what I mean? I can remember a supporter just coming up to me and giving me a random £5 note and saying, can you put that into collection? And this was like 3 months after, you know what I mean? And it really sort of touches you, and it's remarkable. And the non-league family is just an amazing thing, really. And that's the thing that sort of hits you, really, that you go to these places and the support is just incredible, really.
What have the family said to you about winning the title?
Yeah, I mean, I've sort of stayed in contact with them, obviously, every few weeks, and we've sort of always talked about that we felt like he's been overlooking this season, really, and been his 12th man. And my motivation's been to try and sort of win this league in his memory, and I think that's why I was so personally driven to do that, really, and to do that. And then I got a text message when we did it on the day we secured the title, and it was quite emotional that, you know what I mean, the sort of mention that we feel like he's been there overlooking the season and been his 12th man. And we have the Dan Wilkinson stand, and we always seem to come strong in second half when we're sort of playing towards that end and scoring goals, and they've been to the odd few games, and it's just incredible, really. And like I said, his family are brilliant people, really remarkably brave people, And I've got the utmost respect for how they've dealt with things as well.
Absolutely. Swampy.
Craig, good evening. Some lovely sentiments there, but also on a footballing side, I have to say, well, congratulations, because
thank you.
It's been a season that's been a battle between primarily yourself and one team, really, in particular, that's been Witten. Myself and Ben were at the game early in the season when it was a ding-dong of a battle with a swirling.
Yeah, wind. We didn't play well that day.
I'm glad you said that, because me and Ben actually said that was the worst game of football we've seen all season.
I never said that.
Stand by what you said. I mean, it was, but the weather, the conditions were awful, but it wasn't the best of games. And then obviously you had that return match only last week and beating Witten. I mean, they're a good footballing team. You're going to be very proud of the way the players have responded this season. And equally, you know, to do the double. I mean, you played Frickley last night and you won the cup as well. So a good performance all round all season. And you're looking forward to making the next step up into the Northern Prem.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the season itself has been a great battle with Witten. I mean, obviously, you just got to look at the league table to see how clearly we dominated the league, both of us. And I was fully aware they'd push us all the way. And I'm proud that we've actually been able to just sort of pick them to the line, because they are a fantastic team with a fantastic manager. But obviously, that win last week sort of just gave us the edge, I felt.
Do you think the fact that we've now found out, obviously, that they kept it from the players and from the manager, that they actually had a 3-point deduction, do you think that would have changed your mindset going into the game if you'd known that in advance, or do you think it actually helps you as well as helped them as well to try and, you
know? Yeah, possibly. I sort of get where you're coming from with that, because we were really focused on sort of our points total that we needed to get, and it might have just distracted us slightly. But I think sort of both teams going into that game knew, were fully aware that sort of the winner of that game had one sort of hand on the trophy. It's easy to say that now, but I did feel it was a pivotal match. Whoever sort of come out in front of that match, I couldn't see many in either team dropping many points, to be honest with you. And that's why I knew that night that we just needed to win that game. And I thought we just edged the game, actually, to be honest with you, and deserved it. And ultimately, I think, obviously, I know they've had the points deduction, but I think, we won the title that night, personally.
Yeah.
And Craig, it's Bennett. I'm not sure where I got this stat from. It might have actually been from you, but you winning the league, it's the highest points total, I think, in Division 1 South. And I don't know if you know this as well. I'm pretty sure a journalist told me this. Witten Albion, it's the highest points total for a team in second place in that Division 2. It's been cracking, the pair of you.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, I think we both lost four league matches, which is an incredible season, and you'd expect to win a league title with that sort of statistic. So, I mean, it's incredible, really. And I've got to be honest, I didn't fancy going in the playoffs because, do you know what I mean? You sort of feel like second, you deserve to go up with that many points. I feel like Witten are the second best team in the league, and I fully sort of hope they do the job, because I think they deserve to go up. They've been equally as good as us all season. So you just got to look at both teams, the amount of points they've got, amount of goals they've scored. It's incredible, really. It's been a great battle.
Craig, thank you so much for your time tonight. Well done on all you've done this season.
Thank you.
A real credit to the club and a credit to Dan as well. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Shore Lane boss Craig Elliott, and that EvoStick NPL South title, winning that this week. Incredible story from them. Another story that kind of went through non-league, went globally as well, because there's that point at which, and it's a line that's often trotted out in such cases, where you say no one deserves, of course, to lose their life, but to go out, to go and play the game they love, and then not to go home. But the way the non-league community reacted, we can be a bit cliched about it sometimes, but the way they reacted and what the club has done this season to come back from that as well just shows the mental toughness of Craig and his team.
Yeah, certainly. And I don't think it's just not only the non-league, but I think the local community got together. And that's what you happen, you know, in times.
Brighouse as well.
There's the whole host of groups and the people in the local area all coming together. And, you know, it's... out of adversity and out of tragedy, there's come something, you know, that I'm sure the family will look back in a few years' time and say, well, their son was part and parcel of that team that went on to win a division, and his name will always be remembered and synonymous with
name on the stand,
a name on the stand, and synonymous with the football club and that victory in winning the league. So, you know, it's always hard to talk about it, but you know, we rally round and we move on, and he'll always be remembered.
That's almost it for the non-league show this week. My thanks to Ben and to Swampy. A couple more stories I just wanted to talk about, not least given your China adventures of late. Did you see that Cheadle? They're going to wind the season up with a four-game tour of China.
Yeah, they're going to Xi'an. They've got four games in Xi'an. But no, listen, this is a team that's played in Azteca, I think, 65,000 people. They played in 1973 against the Cuban national team.
Have we had a documentary on Cheadle yet?
I have every time I go past the ground, because he tells me the same yeah, story every time.
But no, there's not been a documentary. There's not been a documentary on them. They played the national team of Cuba in 1973. They've been all over the world. They've played in front of 65,000.
This will be their 100th overseas game. Since they were founded.
What's it all down to? How did they manage it?
Great connections as a football club. They put themselves out there, and you know, obviously everyone must have thought they were Stockport County, hence why they wanted them to play in these parts of the world. No, I'm only joking, because the actual Cheadle
Town. Is that a joke? I just didn't.
Well, there's a Cheadle End. Stockport County have a Cheadle End, you see.
Was,
so
you know, was,
that's it. You talk
if
on
you
if you want.
Have to explain a joke, then.
Yeah, yes, okay. Yeah. Well,
a couple of other stories. Did you see possibly Michalova? Their assistant boss, Paul Groves, he's joined Harry Redknapp.
Yes, with Steve Cottrell as well. Steve Cottrell's there, isn't he?
I just said.
It was a good impression. I knew who you were trying to do.
So he's gone to Birmingham.
He has,
anyway,
yeah.
Anyway, that was that.
Along with Steve Cottrell, who's...
Those two at Michalova were superb this season. Reinvented the club and the way they play football.
And to be honest, I mean, the one thing is you might find him going back there, because Harry said if he doesn't keep him up, he just won't be paid, or so on and so forth. So you never know, he might let him go back and help out, because they're... Michalova have been superb this season, as you rightly say, Ben.
And one other story that was in the non-league paper this week, United Counties League throwing their hat into the ring to run the new Step 4 division. So FA introducing this new division as well. There's quite a few that have come forward. United Counties apparently one of those. Is there anything else you two wish to add? I feel like you've said enough.
We've said quite enough.
We've been very good cultural ambassadors tonight.
I think we have. Everyone's understood us clearly.
Mm-hmm.
There's been none of that kind of accent here tonight, so everyone's been understanding
things
that
are going
on. Casually.
I mean, so you've got to roll back on that.
Well, excuse me, that's my parentage is from that part of the world, so no, I feel entitled. Well, what's your excuse?
We all feel entitled. I have no excuse apart from... I was born in Essex.
You're born in Essex.
I may have mentioned that one or two times. It has been a pleasure. If people wish to engage audibly with you two again at another time, how can they find you?
Well, we're on all sorts, aren't we?
You name it. I mean, Ben, you're on more than I am. So, you know, come on, here's your opportunity.
Well, we do, obviously, FCM Radio, but we also do Supporters Direct podcast. Mm-hmm. We do the Manchester Football League podcast, which is really proper non-league.
Oh, that is great. Sunday League, grassroots, great
proper
stuff.
Bar round the pitch, that kind
we even
of thing.
Do, we even do the
a
live...
bar round the pitch. Yeah. They all stood there on the side with pints.
No, a railing.
No?
A railing.
I mean, that is new football, is it not?
Yeah, yeah. But also we do
just
cup
bring
finals.
The bar up to the edge of the pitch.
Well, there's some photographs, weren't there? People celebrating with beer.
We do the cup finals for the Manchester FA, which is interesting. What else did we do?
We missed the NPL, obviously.
NPL, obviously, yeah.
And rugby league. We mentioned the rugby league.
Yeah, we're doing rugby league. We're thinking of branching out maybe to World Service. I don't know, maybe
drive. Well,
I'm
telling
drive.
You that Cheadle story, I'm going to get that on the BBC World Service.
Well, I gave you that information 3 weeks ago, but you never used it.
Yeah, but it stuck a Northern special to do it.
It has a Northern special to get
and
it on.
And all people in the North feel special of course. After listening to this
they
show.
They should do. They should do, yes.
Thankfully, next week we'll be back down south. You two are...
Well, we'll follow them.
You are. You are just another level. you're actually going to follow me. Should I be worried? I mean, that was a little bit threatening.
I have been following you for the last, three or four years now, Caroline. Yeah, I mean, you know, let's not pretend that we don't know each other.
No.
3 weeks ago, we were so intimate, we were sat on each other's knee doing this show in another secret location in and around the Salford area.
Yes.
Just to say that's not happened tonight.
No.
It was like a Christa Burr song. We were both cheek to cheek.
I'm just leaving that pause there for dramatic effect. Okay, we're done. Thank you, everyone, for being part of it at Non-League Show to get in touch throughout the week. Today's podcast was sponsored by Pitch Hero, celebrating 10 years of being at the heart of grassroots football. Thank you for your company. Anything else you wish to discuss, feel free at Non-League Show. Goodbye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.